So in the Gemara Psachim, Dav Gimel Amud Aleph, it's stated, Leolam al yotzi adam davar megune mipiv. We learn from Psukim, as we'll discuss in a minute, that Leolam, never should a person allow for his mouth to utter davar megune, a language which is derogatory. We're not even talking about foul language. That's called, in the Lashon of Chazal, that's called nivlut peh. That's foul language. That's not what the Gemara is talking here. The Gemara means derogatory. Something negative, extremely negative. Le'olam al yotzi adam davar megune mipiv. So the Ben Ish Chai, first in his Benayahu, so if you see on the page, in the second paragraph, he's asking why it says le'olam. What's the emphasis in the word le'olam, always? So in the beginning, he gives his own pirush. The Ben Ish Chai gives his own pirush, and then he gives a pirush from his son Rabbi Yaakov. Many times, the Ben Ish Chai and Ben Yoyada and Ben Ayahu, he quotes his son, who was a great chacham, Rabbi Yaakov Chaim. Now, the first pirush that he gives on his own, he says, "Nireli b'siyata d'ishmaya, ma she'amru le'olam." The reason why Chazal say here le'olam de'ikatrei minei gnut. There's two types of derogatory. He says one is intrinsic and one is not. Ha'echad she'haya tov b'tchilato v'nitgana al yedei siva. He says there's one that in the beginning was good, but then something happened and became bad. Kegon behema trefa u'nevela. Let's say a nevela or a trefa. So she'haita tova u'kshera b'tchilata. In the beginning it's a kosher animal. In the beginning it was kosher. But al yedei adam nitganet, but through the shchita that was pasul, it became nevela. Or maybe it was killed, so it became trefa. Or adam, or let's say a person, shu tahor b'tchilato, ba'o lo tum'a achar kach v'nitgana ba. He was tahor in the beginning, and then he became tameh. Min ze gariat fei, he says this type is more megune, interesting, is more derogatory, midavar shu nitgana b'gzerat hakatuv. Then something that is gnut, that is negative, by way of gzerat hakatuv, because Hashem said so. A certain animal is non-kosher, right? Let's say a camel. You look at the camel, he's nice, he's so cute. He's very nice, nothing wrong with him, he doesn't hurt anybody. He does a lot of chesed. He's nose be'ol chavero. He's mamash, he carries people, he carries the load. So what's wrong with the gamal? What's wrong with the gamal? Hashem said it's non-kosher. That's it. Finished. Hashem said it's gzirat katu. We don't understand what's wrong, but that's it. Whereas something that was good in the beginning and then turned sour, so we saw the development of why it became non-kosher. The Ben Ish Chai says, I'm not saying I fully understand this 100%, but this is what the Ben Ish Chai is writing here, that that's worse. That's a higher level. That's a worse level of gnut than the other. Than a place where bigzirat hakatuv shegazar Hakadosh Baruch Hu al beema she'ena ma'ala gera ve'en perasoteh sedugot she'tiyat me'ah. Hakadosh Baruch Hu was gozer on certain animals that don't chew their cud or they don't have split hooves. You'd ask us, what's wrong with not having split hooves or not chewing its cud? I don't know. That's not a reason for me not to eat it. But Hashem said that makes it tameh, right? So in that case, okay, ze amin adif tfe me'oto amin. This one at least, you can't say it's so derogatory. It's a gzirat hakatuv, but it's not, you know. However, lachen amar le'olam. So the Ben Ish Chai came up with this idea that that's why it says le'olam al yotzi. Regardless, always, al yotzi adam davar megune mipi, ben bemin gnut zu, ben bemin gnut hasheni. Whether it's the type of tum'ah that shanau piresh, you know, like the Gemara says, if you want to give us simuchim to the words of the Ben Ish Chai, the Gemara says, shanau piresh kashe mikulam. Someone who was a talmid chacham and then he went off the derech is worse than someone who was always a rasha. When you turn sour like that in the middle, that's a worse thing. So the same thing, you could compare that maybe to the words of the Ben Ish Chai here. Regardless, whether it's from the beginning or not, if it's gnut, do not use it. That's how the Ben Ish Chai explains. But then he brings the pirush of his son, Rabbi Yaakov. I think this one is a bit easier to understand. ובני ידידי, כבוד הרב יעקב, נרו, נטרי רחמנה ופרקה. Whenever you see נון רש וב, it's a blessing. נטרי רחמנה, השם, guard him, ופרקה and save him. It's a nice ברכה. פירש תיבת לעולם, he explains the word לעולם, בא ללמד, comes to teach, a חידוש. אף על פי שהוא מדבר עם האישה, רבי יעקב says, even in a case where you're speaking with a woman, שצריך לקצר דבריו, the Gemara tells us elsewhere, כמו שכתב בגמרא דעירובין, the Gemara in עירובין tells us that a person, when he's speaking with a woman, he should try to choose the shorter version, the shorter sentence. שהוכיחה אישה את רבי יוסי הגלילי עד שהעריך בשאלתו לה. There was a woman, you know who this woman was? The great, great, legendary woman, the wife of Rabbi Meir, Bruria. I don't know why the Ben Ish Chai chooses not to mention her name here. He says that Bruria, the Gemara tells us, she gave a musar to Rabbi Yossi Aglili. She'amar be'ezet derech lelud, that Rabbi Yossi Aglili was going to Lud, to the city of Lod, really, that's how you say it, to the city of Lod, and he needed directions, and he found Bruria, and he asked her, do you know the directions to Lod? I have to get there. And so he said, now, in our level, he was mekatzer. He didn't stand there, you know, talking in a whole shmooze. He said, ve'eze derech nelech lelod. Which way should we go to Lod? Four words. You know what she called him? Galili Shote, you foolish Galilean. She told Rabbi Yossi Aglili. She could do that. She was a Tanait. She was able to take on Tanaim, as she did in Sugyot, in Halakha. She argued with Tanaim. Bruria was a giant of Torah, that woman. So she called him Galili Shote, she told him. You know why? Hayale Chalomar, instead of four words, you should have said two words. Should have said Be'eze Lelud, in which to Lod. That's what you should have said. And Mishum Damu Chachamim Al Tarbe Sichayim Aisha, because the Mishnah Avot says you should not speak excessively with the Isha. So now the question is: let's say you're in a predicament. You have a dilemma. What's the dilemma? On one hand, I have to use short sentences with the Isha. On the other hand, the short sentence is going to use a more negative or derogatory word. Whereas if I take the longer sentence, just like the Torah did, instead of saying Teme'ah, it said Asher Enena Torah. So it's in order to preserve the Lashon Naki, I'll have to say more words. But what do I do? This is so now, Al Tarve Sichai Maisha, Leolam Yisaper Adam Belashon Naki. So what do we do? That's what Rabbi Yaakov says. That's why it said Le'olam. Le'olam al yotzi adam davar megune mipi. What's Le'olam? Coming to include, even if you're speaking to a Isha. Alachen amar kan Le'olam al yotzi davar megune mipi she'yarich bilshono. Even if it means to say a few extra words, kede shelo le'otzi davar megune, af al pi shum davar im ha'isha. Ad kan devara. So that's one point in the explanation of the word Le'olam. Yosef, you wanted to say something, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it might not be the point, but I'm saying you're saying how great Bruria was.
Yes.
Didn't she make a big mistake also?
Well, great people can make mistakes. You know, a human being makes a mistake.
Yeah. I know, but...
I don't remember right now which mistake you're referring to, but, you know, that's okay. It's not a stira to greatness. You know? We won't get into that right now. You know, I don't want to ask you what are you referring to, and then we'll go into it. Let's continue to the next piece, if that's okay, Rabbi Yosef. Okay, the next piece in the Bnei'ahu, miu yesh ledayek b'ma'amar zeh da'amar al yotzi adam davar megune mipiv, havele le'meimar al yomar adam davar megune. He's going to say here another beautiful gem from his son Rabbi Yaakov. What's the message behind the word al yotzi? A person should not utter davar megune. Normally, we wouldn't bat an eyelash if Chazal would say leolam al yomar davar megune mipiv. A person should not speak something that is megune. Aren't we talking about speaking? So you should say, you shouldn't say. A person should not say a derogatory word. Why do you say should not yotzi, should not allow for his mouth to bring out? Do not yotzi literally means to bring out a derogatory word. Why the word yotzi? So he says, Rabbi Yaakov Piresh Beni Edidi, Rabbi Yaakov, Da'amu Razal Shetzarich Adam Lomar Kelshon Rabo. There's another thing. When a person says over Divrei Torah from his Rebbe, he should try to stick as much as possible to the language that his Rebbe used. We see this as a very common yesod in the Mishnayot. We see this as a big praise to many Chachamim, that, for example, in one place it says about Rachba, one of the Amoraim, that he always said Kilshon Rabo. Hillel also, the Gemara, the Mishnah, in the beginning of Masechet Arachin, tells us that Hillel was makpid to say Bilshon Rabo, to use the language with which the halakha was said by his Rebbe. Even if the one word or two is not the common words that are used, spoken, they would say it verbatim, as much as possible, from the way in the way that their Rebbe said it. Uleze omer, that's why it says, al yotzi adam davar migune mipiv. Why? Why does that explain the word yotzi? Ki davka bidvarim shu mechadesh umotzi mipiv tzach lizeher bekach. You see what he says? He says, davka, when you're saying your own chidushim, that's called yotzi. Yotzi means you're the one who's bringing it out to light. That's yotzi, to bring it out. When you're saying your own chidush that you didn't hear from someone, so that's called yotzi. In that case, you're saying your own? Well, make sure the way you're saying, the lashon that you use, is not using any daval migune. Do not say a derogatory word. Sheyomar be'arucha, kedesh lo yazkir, even if it means to say extra words, but as long as you don't say daval migune. Aval davar shel rabo, shem dvarim she'amaram be'otziam rabo mipiv. But let's say you're quoting your Rebbe. You're not the motzi. You're not the one who is bringing these words to the world. They are already out there. You're just quoting your Rebbe. Ze muchach le'omram ke'moshe shema'a mipi rabo. You have to say it as you heard. Ve'al yeshaneh bishvil shelo lehazkir. In that case, don't get fancy and, you know, become a bigger chassid than your Rebbe, and you'll change around, you'll add a few words because you think that one of the words is derogatory. No. You're quoting your Rebbe, you say it as he said it. Le'olam yomar adam kilshon rabo. So that's why it says yotzi, not yomar. Beautiful gem here. We just learned from the son of the Ben Ish Chai in the Sefer Benayahu. Look in the next page, on the second column. This is from Ben Yehoyada, also the Ben Ish Chai. So the Ben Yehoyada, on the second column, it says, Daf Gimel, Le'olam al yotzi adam, davar migune mipiv. Here he also explains why Le'olam. So we already saw two pirushim on the word Le'olam. So he says, "B'siyata dishmaya, nireli b'siyata dishmaya, omro le'olam, rotze lomar ben b'mile dishmaya, ben b'mile de'alma." Le'olam means whether it's in spiritual talk or in material talk. Whether you're talking about, you know, what kind of curtains you're going to put on the, you know, in your house, or what color paint, that's mile de'alma, or mile dishmaya, or even when you're talking divrei Torah, le'olam. Le'olam comes to include both Mili Dishmaya and Mile de Alma. Venir'eh, and then I thought, I didn't want to hold this beautiful gem from you over here in the Ben Yehoyada. He says, Remez le davar ze, as he is wont to do, the great holy Ben Ish Chai Zechuto Tagen Alenu. Look at what he finds. He says, there's a remez for this. In the word Safa, what's the word Safa? We just read it on Shabbat in Parashat Noach. Vayhi chol ha'aretz safa echat udvarim achadim. What does safa mean? Safa means language, right? Safa is language. By the way, the Baal HaTurim on the pasuk says safa echat is begematria lashon hakodesh. Vayhi chol ha'aretz safa echat. The world spoke at first one language, udvarim achadim, until Hashem came. Sham balal Hashem sefat kol haaretz. Hashem mixed their languages and it became 70 languages, right? What was the original language that they spoke? it's beyond any doubt that the language was Lashon HaKodesh. That's the language that the world was created with. And the Baal HaTurim finds an unbelievable gematria, one of my favorite gematriot ever. Safa Echat is begematria exactly Lashon HaKodesh. How do you like that? Isn't that beautiful? It was worth it to zoom on today just for that. So now takes the Ben Ish Chai, he takes the word Safa, and what does he say? Bemilu'a. If you write it out, Bemilui, fill in the letters, right? You all know what's Milui. Like this, take the word Safa. You have Pe, why does he switch it here? Right? So you have Pe, Pehe, Shin, Shin Yud Nun, He, He Aleph. So he says, Hamilui hu otiyot na'e. If you take the Milui, right? Shin, take the Nun of Shin. He, take the Aleph of He. Pe, take the He of Pe. That makes it into the word Na'e. Na'e means beautiful, good. Lirmoz, sheyotzi misfatav, davar na'e, velo davar megune. Take Safa. Take the Milui. The Milui tells us, what Safa should you have? What language? Safa Na'a. A good language, nice language, proper language. That's one. Gam yesh lomar otiyot Pe. He says, if you take the word Pe, Pe means mouth, right? Bemilu'am kaze. What's the milui of Pe? Pe he and he yud. Hu otiyot hayafa. Isn't that nice? Pirush ha-pe tzarich ledaber bo belashon hayafe velo megune. You have to speak in beautiful words, not in words that are derogatory. He says, and if you look up in the next one, there's a nice gem there as well. Did we see all the Rashis yet? Or maybe before we do so, take a look at the Chidushim that I showed you, the Alkut Biurim, the third page that I sent you. In the first column, we're going to deal with the Chizkuni's question. You know who's the Chizkuni, right? That's one of the Mefarshim. In a good Mikraot Gdolot, you have one of the Mefarshim called the Chizkuni. He brings beautiful Pirushim. He's a Rishon. And he's known as the Pirusha Chizkuni, and he asks a question over here. He asks a very good question. What does the Gemara say? Which pasuk does the Gemara bring as proof that the Torah twisted itself, contorted itself out of place in order to say, in order not to say a davar megune? Which pasuk? Mina be'ema teora. So now when you just learn the Gemara and you don't look up the Pasuk in the Chumash, so this is going to just flow by you without being noticed. The Chizkuni is a Mefaresh on the Torah, and he noticed something here. He said this Pasuk is in the actual narration of the story as Noach was doing it, which means when the, you'll see in Parashat Noach, that first there are the psukim of the tzivui of Hashem to Noah, when Hashem commanded Noah to do so, to take seven from each of the kosher animals, and clean animals, let's call them, and to take pairs from each of the non-clean animals, right? So that was the tzivui of Hashem. So you have those psukim in the beginning. And then you have the psukim of as he was doing it, describing how Noach fulfilled the words of the tzivui of Hashem. Right? So again, you have in the beginning, Tzohar ta'aseh la'teva, va'ani hineni natati, va'kimoti et beriti itach. And then he says like this. Yomer Hashem leNoach. This is in Parashat Noach, Perek Zayin, Halacha Bet. Mikol haBeema haTeora tikach lecha shiva shiva ish veishto, umin haBeema asher lo teora hi shenayim ish veishto. So in Pasuk Bet, where Hashem is commanding Noach to do so, we see that it says, instead of saying, umina be'ema teme'a, it says, umina be'ema asher lo teorahi. Okay? But guess what? That's not the pasuk that the Gemara quotes. The Gemara quotes the pasuk from six psukim later. When the Torah is telling us, Vayavo Noach uvana veishto, and Noach came into the Teva with his family, then in pasuk chet, what does it say? Mina be'ema teora, umina be'ema asher enena teora, umina ofer chol asher omes al adama, shenayim shenayim ba'u el Noach el Teva. So we see, which pasuk does the Gemara quote? Pasuk bet or pasuk chet? The later one, pasuk chet. From the story itself, not from the command, not from the mitzvah of Hashem. Asks the Chizkuni, but in both of them we see that the Torah went out of its way to say, Asher lo Torah hi, instead of saying Atemeah. So why does the Gemara prove, why does Rabbi Shua ben Levi bring the Pasuk, the later one, Pasuk Chet? Isn't that a valid question? Does everybody understand the question? Who doesn't understand the question? Meiro, why is it, the Chizkuni is asking, that the Gemara quotes as proof the later Pasuk? It could have quoted the earlier one, which also goes out of its way to say a clean language of Asher lo Teorai. Why does Rabbi Shua ben Levi bring the later Pasuk? That's the question. So we have a variety. Yosef, you wanted to say something? Okay, we have a variety of answers here. Look at the first one, a beautiful answer from the Tosfot HaRosh and the Tosfot Chachmei Anglia, from the Baalei Tosfot in the time of the Rosh and in England, Chachmei Anglia. You know what they answered? Me'apasuk harishon en reaya. From the first pasuk, there's no proof. You know why? Mishum shedibur hayotze mipi hagvura v'adai ne'emar belashon nekiya. I love this answer. See what he says here? What's the difference between the first pasuk and the next one, and the other one? The first one is Hashem commanding Noah. The pasuk chet is the narration of the story. The Torah speaking and telling us the story. It says, if the Gemara would bring the first pasuk, there's no proof. You're showing me from Hashem himself, when he spoke to Noah, that he used a cleaner language. Of course, that's Hashem. Well, how's that a proof to us? The better proof is from the next pasuk, pasuk chet, where it's the narration of the story. The Torah is speaking stam. It's not Hashem who's speaking outright. It is the story itself. And yet the Torah was careful to say asher enena tehora instead of atemea. Oh, from here we learn better. I know you might ask, you might say, what do you mean? Every pasuk in the Torah is Hashem speaking, right? I'm sure some of you were asking this. What pasuk chet is not Hashem speaking. Who's narrating the story? It's Hashem narrating the story, obviously. That's not a question. I don't think that's a question. Because comparatively speaking, relatively speaking, what's the difference between pasuk bet and pasuk chet? Pasuk bet is the Torah saying that Hashem spoke. So you have a double here. Hashem is speaking the tzivui. Whereas pasuk chet, of course every word is from Hashem. But that's not how the story is. Over here, the story is just speaking for itself. Meaning, it's not saying that Hashem spoke. So it's not in an open and obvious revealed way that Hashem is speaking. And therefore, that would be out of the two, that is the better proof, according to the Tosfot HaRosh and Tosfot Chachmei Anglia. That's answer number one. Answer number two, skip to the one of the Pnei Yeshua. Pnei Yeshua tiretz. Now fasten your seatbelts, Rabotai. Alright? The Pnei Yeshua answers the following. B'sha'at ha-tzivu yadayin lo yada Noach ezo me'abemot nikret teme'ah. Isn't that interesting? He says, right from in the beginning, initially, when Hashem commanded Noach, you know, I'm sure it hit him like, whoa! Imagine, Hashem is speaking to Noach, and he tells him, you know, from the kosher animals, take seven. From the non-kosher, take two. Noach was like, what? Kosher? Not kosher. What's this kosher? Well, oh my goodness, I don't got much time. I have to learn the whole Masechet Chulin in one day. I have to figure this out. What's going on? What's kosher? What's non-kosher? I'm sure you can imagine, no? And what happened? Ve'her'alo HaKadosh Baruch Hu al kol min. Hashem showed him. each and every animal. See this? He took him to the zoo. Well, what a trip that was, right? A show and tell. So as they're walking in the zoo, Hashem and Noach, Hashem points to the zebra. He says, it's nice, no? It's not kosher. That animal's not kosher. See the camel? A tzaddik of an animal. Not kosher. You see that cow? He's mooing away. Oh, that's a kosher animal. And he explained to him, this is kosher. This is not kosher. Get ready. Now you know what to take 7 from and what to take 2 from. Oh, you know, in the bottom, they're bothered with the question. Rashi, ala Torah, Rashi says, Mikan shelamad Noach Torah. From here we see that Noach learned Torah. So they're saying, Pnei Yeshua is not saying like the Rashi. Because Pnei Yeshua is going with the assumption that Hashem showed him the animals that are kosher and non-kosher. Whereas Rashi is telling us that Noach learned Torah. Why can't you say that's how Noach learned Torah? That was called learning Torah. He took him to the zoo and he showed him what's kosher and what's not. So it doesn't have to be necessarily opened up Masechet Chulin with Rashi, with Tosfot, with the Torah Tabayit LaRashba and the whole story. And that's how he learned it. No, he learned it with a trip with HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the zoo or some other way, right? So that's not a stirat to Rashi necessarily. All right. So let's see the Pnei Yeshua's answer. So at first when Hashem told him, From the clean, not clean. Noach didn't know. You know, have the vaguest idea. What's going on? What animal is called tmeah? What's not? Hir'alu HaKadosh Baruch Hu al kol min. Umin astam. So now listen to this. The Pnei Yeshua. Here's the chap. Here's the genius of the Pnei Yeshua. He says, min astam lo utzrach lehar oto ela al haminim hateorim shehem muatim. Umitoch kach hevin sheshar haminim tmeim. You hear what the Pnei Yeshua says? He says, imagine if Hashem would take him to the zoo and he would try to show him every non-kosher animal. Oh my goodness, that would take a long time. You know how many non-kosher animals there are? So to point to every non-kosher animal and to say, this is non-kosher, that would take too long. What's the better way? What's the more efficient way here? Comparatively speaking, how many animals that are kosher, that's the minority. You have a few. You can count them on your hands. You look in Parashat Shmini and you see that the vast majority of the animals in the world are non-kosher. You have a few that are kasher. So if Hashem is teaching Noach which one is which, what's the better way? He shows him, this one is taho, this one is taho, this one is taho. He shows him like 8 or 9 animals that are kosher. And he says, you got it? The rest are not kosher. That's it. I don't have to point to each one be'arichut. Aha, beautiful. Says the Pnei Yeshua, al ken al ota sha'a en lishol madu alo amar lo atemea. So now, on the time of the tzivui, when Noach didn't know yet, you know, which one is which, you can't ask, why did the Torah not just say, umina be'ema hatemea? That's not a question. Sha'ari mina ra'ui shi'omar asher lo Torah. It makes sense in that pasuk why he told him asher lo Torah. It's like he said, remember we went to the zoo yesterday? Remember? So I showed you the Tehorah. So, mina be'ema Tehorah, those Tehorim, you should take 7. Asher lo Torah, meaning whatever is not from those, that's Asher lo Torah. Whatever is not from those, you take 7. I'm sorry, you take 2. Right? He didn't, in the Tzivu, he's not going to tell him Teme'ah. He didn't show him what's Teme'ah. He showed him what's Tehorah. And now, by process of elimination, he's telling him, whatever is not that, you take 2 only and not 7. Beautiful. So what happened when the story, why is the, so what, so in other words, from that pasuk, there's no havamina to ask why you said Teme'ah. So there's no proof. So why is there proof from the second pasuk? Ach b'shat ha'knisa la'teva, but when he entered, upon entering the teva, keshekvar yada Noach mihen teot mihen temeot, by that time already, now he knows the trick. Now he knows. Whichever one Hashem showed me was tahor, all the rest I frown upon. They're all temeim. Now I know they're temeim. So now you could have actually, the Torah, when it was describing the entrance of Noach into the Teva, when Noach now was already educated into which animal is Tameh, which animal is Taho, he could have used the word HaTemeah. Why did the Torah here use the word Asher Enena Tehorah? Why so many syllables and letters? Oh, must be to show us Derech Eretz, to speak in a positive way, with a positive language. Beautiful, beautiful pirush from the holy Pnei Yeshua. And now we go to the next one. We're eating candy today, Rabotai. But this is candy that doesn't give us cavities. In fact, it fills up all the cavities. Oh, the cavities of the brain. It fills it up. So let's learn the Chatam Sofer. The Chatam Sofer tirets שבציווי נאמר לא תאורה ולא נאמר תמאה משום שאינה תמאה לבני נוח אלא שאינה תאורה להקרבה למזבח. Listen to what the Chatam, here's another genius answer. Ah, the Chatam Sofer says a beautiful answer. He says, in the first pasuk there's no proof. Why? Hashem couldn't, in the tzivui to Noach, in the command to Noach, Hashem couldn't use the word teme'ah. Why? Because to Noach, it's not tameh. Who is Hashem talking to here? In the first, in Pasuk Bet, Hashem is talking to Noach. What's he going to tell him? Teme'ah? Teme'ah means non-kosher, right? That you can't eat it. Noach is allowed to eat it. Noach is not Jewish. He's not a Yisrael. So he's allowed to eat it. You can't say teme'ah. You know what you could say to him? It's not teme'ah, but it's not tahor. It's not tahor. What does that mean, not tahor? You cannot bring it as a korban on a mizbeach. Hare Noach was planning on bringing korbanot. That was a common practice, even in those days, in the days of Noach. So Hashem is telling him, listen, asher lo teorah, not Torah means it doesn't qualify to be put on the mizbeach. If you're going to call it teme'ah, teme'ah means you should abhor it. You can't eat it. Why should Noach not eat it? He's Noach. Noach. He can eat it. He's not bound by the rules of kashrut. So he's allowed to eat it. But one thing he is bound by, not to bring it as a korban on a mizbeach. Asher lo teorahi. So the fact that Hashem said, asher lo teorahi to Noach in his tzivui to Noach, that's not proof that you have to go out of your way to use good language. That was the more sensible usage of the words to Noach. So why is there a proof from the pasuk in the story? You see, in the story, who's talking to who? Ya Habibi, who's talking to who? Hashem is not talking to Noach there in the story. Hashem is talking to us. He's talking to Bnei Israel, Mekablei Torah, to those who receive the Torah and want to hear the story of Noach. To us. You can talk teme'ah. You could have said that word to us. Yeah, it's tameh. We can't eat it. We're Jews, right? And yet you went out of your way to say asher enena teorah. Oh, here we have a proof that leolam al yotzi adam davar migunem mipi. Oh, my head is spinning from these beautiful pirushim over here. Pnei Yeshua ben Yoyada chatam sofer. Oi, oi, oi. This is amazing. You heard that? So the Pnei Yeshua, the difference between the Pnei Yeshua and Chatam Sofer Tirutz, the Pnei Yeshua was focusing on the fact that at the time of the Tzivui, Noach did not yet know what is called Teme'ah. He only knew that upon entering already the Teva. So then he could have used the word Teme'ah. And the fact that he didn't, it's proof that Yotzi Adam Davar Meguneh. The Chatam Sofer is focusing on, the first Pasuk was actually talking to Noach. You talk to Noach, you don't say Teme'ah, you say it's not Tahor for a Korban. Whereas the second Pasuk is talking to Klal Yisrael. To Klal Yisrael, he could have said Teme'ah. The fact that you didn't is proof that Al Yotzi Adam Davar Meguneh Mipiv. Let's move on to another answer. Now this is going to be a more Hasidisha answer. It's from the holy Rav Pinchas Mikoritz, the Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov, Zechutam Tagen Alenu. He says in the Sefer Tziva Kohen, it's brought in the Dvar Shmuel, beautiful Sefer Dvar Shmuel, Amasech Psachim. He brings in the name of Rav Pinchas Mikoritz, who answers. You hear this answer that he gives. Shemearichut alashon sheneemra betzivui Hashem lenoach, en leochiach sheim ishum lashon nekiyah. In the first pasuk, where Hashem is commanding Noach, he's giving him the mitzvah of the building and the organizing of the teva, you can't bring proof that you're supposed to go out of your way and say extra words just so not to say davar meguneh. You know why there's no proof? Maybe the reason why Hashem added 8 extra letters was to give more sachar to Noach al kol dibur ve'dibur. You know, Rashi says that in the parasha of the Akedah. In the Akedah, how did Hashem tell him to take Yitzchak and you know, by the Akedat Yitzchak? Bincha yechidecha asher ahavta. Why are you saying like this? Just say Yitzchak. just say take Yitzchak. Bincha, your son. Yechidcha, your single, your only son. Asher ahavta, the one that you love. Okay, we get it. You're trying to hint to Yitzchak. Can you just tell me Yitzchak? Just say Yitzchak. So Rashi there gives two tirutzim. One tirutz that Rashi gives is latet lo sechar al kol dibur ve'dibur. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a mitzvah, so now we get reward for listening to the Dvar Hashem, for listening to the words of Hashem. So the more words of Hashem there are, the more reward for me. I'm not listening to 10 words of Hashem. I'm obeying 50 words of Hashem. The more words there are, the more the reward is expanded. So therefore, in the first pasuk, which was a tzivui to Noach, maybe Hashem went out of his way to say extra words to give more reward to Noach. He loved Noach. Noach was a tzaddik, was a tamim. He loved him. There's no proof from here that we should go out of our way not to say davar megune. But in the second pasuk, where it's not anymore the tzivui to Noach, it's the narration of the story of the Torah. Why did you go out of your way? Must be to teach me this point of Derech Eretz that we are learning. It's another wonderful answer from the Pinchas Koritzel. All right? Take a look, Rabotai, one more last word here. Take in the second column of that page. There's a word here from Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabotai, today's Rabbeinu Yonah's Yortzeit, and here we're learning a beautiful chidush from Rabbeinu Yonah. Isn't that beautiful? I did not plan it like that, I promise you. It wasn't planned. This is coming out just like that. Unbelievable. Zechuto tagen alenu. Rabbeinu Yonah, alav shalom, baal sha'arei tshuva, baal sha'arei avodah, and baal iliyot de Rabbeinu Yonah, and the pirush and the rif and brachot. So much Torah we have from Rabbeinu Yonah. Migirondi shebisfarad. Okay? So, what does Rabbeinu Yonah say? I want to teach you something here so beautiful. I saw once from Rabbeinu Yonah, and here it is, and it's also brought in the Tosfot Arosh. The question is like this. You remember we saw Rashi yesterday. Rashi asks a question. One second. You're telling me that the Torah went out of its way not to say the word Tameh in order to teach us the Derech Eretz. That's nice. But the Torah is filled with the word Tameh. Look in Parashat Shmini. Look in Parashat Tazri, Yametzorah. Tameh, Tameh. All the time it says Tameh. So what's going on here? Why Dafka here? So Rashi said, the Torah only has to tell us one time. The Torah shows us this message one time. And we learn our lesson. And now, on to the sugya. Now I don't have to all the time go out of my way and say an extra word. As we're going to see later on in the Gemara, there's also what to be said for being succinct, for being stingy with words. You know? So therefore, the Torah in one place teaches this to us, and now we know how to conduct our lives, and that's enough. The question is, you might still linger on with a question after Rashi, why dafka in Parashat Noach? Why dafka in Noach you teach it to us? Nothing is by accident, right? Everything, like we learned before, everything is well calculated and thought out. So look there in the... he says, V'Rabbeinu Yonah V'Atosfot Harosh. All right? Like the second paragraph from the top. Katvu. Rabbeinu Yonah writes, and this is Rabbeinu Yonah in Shari Tshuva Chelek Gimel Siman Resh Lamed. It's in the Sefer Musar of Rabbeinu Yonah, Shari Tshuva. Shemeachar shebeoto zman lo nahag isur achilat behema teme'a ve'lo nechsheva li teme'a ela rak le'inyan hakrava. Lashon gnai hu lechanot davar shera'ui le'achila b'shem tameh. Rak mishum she'eno karev la'mizbeach. Rabbeinu Yonah says something amazing. He answers Rashi's question in a different way. He says, the fact that the Torah, when it spoke to the Jewish people in Parashat Shmini, for example, when it told us about the kosher animals and non-kosher animals, the fact that the Torah uses the word tameh there, that's not megune. That's not megune. It's not derogatory. When you say tameh about something that is tameh, that's not derogatory. There's nothing wrong with that. You're saying a reality. That's a reality. You're not allowed to eat it. It's impure. It's non-clean. If you say something that about something that is non-clean, you say it's non-clean, that's not derogatory. It's true. Rabbeinu Yonah, however, says, in the time of Noah, people were still allowed to eat these animals. Hey, people were still allowed to eat them. Okay, so you can't bring them on the Mizbeach. So what? So you can't bring it on Mizbeach. But to call something that is food, it's food, right? Bal tashrit. Bal tashrit. To call it tameh, something that is ra'ui to be eaten. At that point of time in history, you call it tameh, that's megune. That's lashon megune. That's derogatory. It seems like there's a fundamental difference here between the Rishonim, let's say between Rashi and Rabbeinu Yonah, how to learn the idea of davar megune. See, according to Rashi, wouldn't say this pirush. Rashi holds, I understand that, you know, you can't eat it, and that doesn't mean it's not megune. It's still something that is derogatory. If I say on something that it is tameh, the word tameh is derogatory, that's all. See, Rabbeinu Yonah is going with the practicality of it. He's saying, when I'm not supposed to eat it anyway, so it's not derogatory to call it tameh. When is it derogatory? When is it megune? In a point of time in history when I'm still able to eat it, such as in the time of Noah, then if you will call it tameh, that's derogatory usage of the language. You're describing it in a way that's not nice. What do you mean? This is food. Why do you call it tameh? That's Rabbeinu Yonah. So very interesting pirush, which is actually brought in Shari Tshuva. We'll stop here today. We'll continue with Zat Hashem.